Hello, my babies, and welcome to Poker in the Ears. I'm Uncle Daddy. I'm Joe Stapleton. He's my work wife, James Hardigan.
Happy Hug a Musician Day, Joe.
I don't even care.
Here's the thing. I don't think you play any musical instruments. I certainly wouldn't regard you as a musician, but you look like you need a hug.
I do need a hug. I did play upright bass when I was in elementary school, but I was so bad. Doesn't matter. We got so much to get to today. Coming up on today's show, it's our NAPT recap show. Big game. Big game qualifiers. Big game auditions. Main event. Slots. YouTube vlogs. Girlfriends in town. It was fucking nuts. I honestly don't think one podcast is enough to cover all of this.
It was a very busy, I was going to say 13 nights, but you're still there. You're still in Vegas. You haven't left yet. You haven't escaped. So it's going to be longer for you. But yeah, I said to someone, if every event was like this, I don't think I could do this job. It was intense. No complaints. It was an incredibly rewarding experience. And it reminded me of what the PCA used to be. Kind of NAPT Las Vegas has become this kind of place where we do a lot of extra stuff. And it's the kind of big kind of global festival that we are now part of. But yeah, it was knackering.
You are going to hear all about it coming up in the rest of this show. Also, this week's super fan is Joshua Schofield, and we're keeping it somewhat general with the topic of video games.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. We often talk about video games. We often talk about pop culture, Joe. I'm guessing not this week.
No, no movies and TV this week. There's too much to cover, and I didn't have a chance to watch a goddamn thing. Other than slot machine screens, of course, which I did watch several hours of, and I think you did too.
Yeah, yeah. Guilty as charged.
So last year at NAPT Las Vegas, I walked away with 30 jackpot receipts. How many do you think I had this year?
I'm taking the under on 30. I know you had some big hits, but I'm taking the under on 30.
Yeah, it's more like 12 or 13 this year, which I'm happy about because I have to pay taxes on all of those. James got a little into slots this year. Check out his video blog.
Yeah, there was some Mo Mummy action. At the point that I actually recorded that vlog, I think I'd won about $1,000 playing pretty much exclusively Mo Mummy. That money went back into Mo Mummy and some other machines, including that bloody lamp. Mystery of the bloody lamp. But I would say, I think I actually ended the trip pretty much even. Had a winning first few days, some losing last few days, but crucially didn't lose any money that I hadn't already won, if that makes sense.
As long as you had fun along the way.
And, I did.
Yeah, I did. And I grabbed a couple of our coworkers on the last night, their last night, and they were like, do the slots thing. And I did it. I fucking delivered from them. We had like four or five jackpots. I'm not sure how much they actually took home with them, but we had a really, really good time.
I'm glad you highlighted the vlog, Joe, because there's another opportunity to encourage people to check out what you and I were doing during our first few days in NAPT Las Vegas. It kind of covers the first week that we were at Resorts World. But I do find YouTube fascinating. So this is the second vlog going behind the scenes at a PokerStars event that I did. The last one in Cyprus did gangbusters. It did literally thousands of views within hours. This one, probably dozens of views within the first few hours and hundreds of views in the first 2 days. And I just don't understand how the algorithm works, what it picks up, what it recommends, how it's not pushing that video in front of people who liked the first one. But look, the people who have seen it have enjoyed it, and I'm very glad. But I just find it strange, the disparity.
It's frustrating, and I'm glad that you're doing it and not me, because it would fucking drive me insane. But I think that we have to look at the algorithm like God. We don't know what's going to please God. We don't know what's going to upset God. We do not know when God is going to shine upon us.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You got to just keep feeding God every single day or whatever it is. So I'm sorry. But maybe the Mo Mummy part will blow up.
I've no idea. But yeah, no, I'm going to keep doing it because I do it for fun. I do it as a hobby. I'm not trying to build a channel that's going Yeah, exactly. And as you know, Joe, it's a chance for me to showcase content about stuff outside of poker that I can talk about as well.
So before we get to the rest of the NAPT, is there any like Poker Stars house cleaning?
Sure. Well, let's just cover off a couple of things quickly, a couple of announcements from the last couple of days. The first three European Poker Tour events of 2025 have been announced, have been confirmed. I don't think it's going to come as any great shock to anyone that we are returning to Paris in mid-February, we are returning to Monte Carlo in late April, early May, and we are returning to Barcelona at the end of August. If you want the exact dates, check out the PokerStars Live app or PokerStarsLive.com. And of course, you will be able to utilize those gold and silver power passes to play tournaments at those events, to win your way to those EPTs. And what's clear is there will be further events to be announced. That takes us through to the summer. As far as the autumn and winter months are concerned, the back end of 2025, watch this space. More details will be revealed soon.
And I would encourage you, if you are thinking about winning a gold pass, listen to the rest of this podcast, because the gold pass winners in Las Vegas had a fucking time of their lives.
Yes, it genuinely does translate. If you decide to redeem it for a live events package, it genuinely translates into a poker vacation. Yes, you get to play a huge tournament, but we also understand that most of the field is not going to advance beyond day one. So there is plenty of other stuff going on at our events to make sure that people have an absolute blast should they choose to redeem that pass to go on tour. The Women in Poker Hall of Fame inductees were announced. And interestingly, one of the people who was inducted took part in one of our big game qualifiers.
She did not know what she was doing, which many people turned out did not know. They just knew there was a free roll happening.
Yes. And I know we're jumping ahead because we'll get into that in a moment. But Jeannie David, who was head of responsible gaming for PokerStars for about 15 years and was instrumental in paving the way for online poker legislation in states like New Jersey and Michigan. She retired in 2020, now plays poker mostly, and is a huge mixed games advocate, always has been. Jeannie David is one of the inductees, and the other is Kristen Foxen. No real surprise, as Kristen continues to crush tournaments and crush high-stakes poker, as she has done for the last few years.
Kristen, no surprise. Jeannie, a bit of a surprise. People who are sort of behind the scenes aren't really well-known. I am glad that GD's in there, but also a little bit surprised that someone who no one would really know what she does unless you're a little inside baseball. So congrats to both.
Yes. And to be clear, you're right. Jeannie didn't know what she was playing, but she came and auditioned. And we just said, look, I love Jeannie to bits, but we can't really have an ex-PokerStars employee come on the big game as a loose cannon. So it was a no. So I believe the induction ceremony is in Vegas in mid-December, December 11th.
Where are we going to be on December 11th?
I think we are going to be in Prague. So sadly, correct, we will not be at that ceremony. I believe Kerry Jane Craigie is going to be part of that ceremony. Of course, Kerry Jane is gearing up for the Women's Winter Festival taking place at the Hippodrome November 21st through 24th. Joe, there was a lot of buzz about this in Vegas. And what I was really surprised and delighted to hear is a lot of players are going to be coming over from the US to take part in this. I think this is going to be a huge success.
Yeah, of course it is. I think that any time an event like this runs, it's going to be a success. But the number of players, yes, it's cool because a bunch of Europeans were over for NAPT. To get a bunch of American players over and to experience the Hippodrome, I think is great in general. And also, if the Women's Winter Festival is huge, even better for everyone.
Yeah. Now, as we've already explained, we can't be at the Hippodrome that weekend.
Why not?
Well, do you want to run down what we're doing over the next few weeks? I know we went through this in detail, so just to recap, tomorrow I am going to Nottingham. I'm going to the UK IPT. This weekend you are going to...
I have one day at home, and then I'm playing Pechanga Casino two nights, and then I go straight from Pechanga to BSOP.
Okay, so I go to Nottingham, Joe goes to Brazil. Just hilarious how distinct Nottingham and Sao Paulo are. Then randomly, we both go to Houston. In fact, we were just discussing that the next podcast we record, we will both be in Houston.
for like the 4 hours overlap that we will have in Houston, we're going to do a podcast there. I'm featuring from Michael Ian Black, as you guys know, from Big Game last season. Michael is having me open for him Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to try to play some poker while I'm there. We're going to stay an extra day, by the way. Probably going to play one of the local card rooms on Monday. And then Tuesday, I fly back home for Thanksgiving. But you are on a boat then?
I am on a cruise, but crucially, it gets back on the Monday. So if we're staying in Houston on Monday night, maybe, just maybe, we might be able to meet up with you and Michael.
Oh, Jesus. That's how crazy is that, that neither of us plan to be there together, but we might be there together?
I'm gonna try and make it work. I'm going to try and make it
happen. Okay, let's do it.
The idea then is that I'll be staying in Texas and exploring some of the other Texas card rooms, including the Lodge. And I will be in Texas over Thanksgiving. And that really is our break, right? That kind of Thanksgiving week and Thanksgiving weekend is our hiatus before it all kicks off again.
Yeah, I think I have like 8 or 9 days at home, maybe 10 days total to go from there to Prague. I actually asked to go to Prague like a day early because I think I'm going to play the Eureka Cup something.
Okay.
A 550 in Prague.
Yeah, I'm going to be coming in not the last possible moment, but the day before we do our tech rehearsals, because we are going to be hosting the live stream from the last EPT of 2024, having just covered the NAPT. I was born to play this game. No one's standing in my way. It's what I came here for. It's what I came here for. I got fire in my blood. Strike the match and burn it up. It's what I'm fighting for. It's what I'm fighting for. I'm gonna take it all. Well, we've already talked about some of the stuff that happened at Resorts World Las Vegas. Let's talk about the NAPT proper. And I guess we put the Big Game under that umbrella as well, because you and I actually flew into town a few days earlier before the NAPT had even started, because we had the Big Game qualifier tournaments for the potential loose cannons 2 or 3 days before everything else kicked off.
I mean, I'm regretting it now because we had plenty of auditioners for Big Game, but yes, we flew in for the milestone tournaments improvement. Yes, I feel like yes.
I think it was. It's interesting because I've never really watched one of these satellites play out before, and I naively thought, you know, with a tournament where once you hit a certain benchmark, once your stack gets from 10,000 to 50,000, you qualify and your chips are taken out of play. I naively thought that it would be happening A, earlier, and B, that it would be kind of spaced out. But actually, it's like pretty much all at the end. It's pretty much kind of like, and there's a big bubble normally with 3 or 4 people then going through at the end.
Yeah, there's a big chunk at the end, just like any other satellite. Although we did have one guy, and I'm not going to spoil who it was, but who got within like one chip of making a seat and decided the best way to do it was to steal the blinds, and the best way to do that was to move all in. And he shoved with Jack 10 and got called by Kings and ended up not qualifying.
Correct. But generally speaking, I think this was an improvement, the milestone, rather than having a win-your-table shootout format. It was clear also when we arrived at Resorts World that these tournaments were not going to be oversubscribed. And I think it was also clear that a lot of regs were just taking advantage of these as satellites for the Cup / Mystery Bounty. They saw that there was a $550 NAPT ticket being given away as well. And that's really what they were interested in, rather than earning a spot in the Big Game auditions. And look, there are things I would do differently. If we do this again next year, I have some suggestions, which we won't discuss now. But there were some complications. There were some flaws, I think it's fair to say.
We're going to get into this in a second, but like, I'm not sure I want to do this again next year as far as being a judge, as far as that whole process. Not just because of how hard work it is, but it's fucking hard for me, James. It's really hard for me. You saw me. I was almost in tears twice. I don't know if you could tell.
But is that because you were genuinely emotional or you were just exhausted? Because last year we did one day of auditions and we saw 19 people. We had to cast two loose cannons from 19. This year, we had three qualifying tournaments. We had more than 50 people come through those tournaments. We then had half of the Gold Pass winners want to audition as well. So we saw more than 90 people across 3 days. And just to be clear, there are then multiple audition rounds, right? So you see 90 people initially, you then call back a percentage, you then call back a further percentage for the third round. These were long days to whittle it down, to get down to the three people that we wanted to cast as loose cannons.
It was heartbreaking for me on multiple levels. One, in that, like, when someone walks in and they clearly have no chance of ever being on television, that's heartbreaking to me. When someone walks in and they get really close and we don't end up picking them, that is also heartbreaking to me. I had a really, really difficult time. Look, I'm happy with the choices we made. I think we chose people that truly gave the best auditions. But there are so many people that I would be like, and you get a shot, and you get, but I can't. It's obviously I can't fucking do that, and it really breaks my heart.
Well, there's two things to say on this. It's always going to be subjective, and there's no guarantee you're going to get it right. Not that there is an objectively correct solution here. Yes, some people are going to be disappointed, especially the people who get dragged through the process to the very end and fall at the final hurdle.
Which is why, by the way, we cut Paul Vatto pretty early this year. If you guys remember, he went very deep last time. He made it through, and we just said, Paul, we don't think you're going to make it to the end of this time. We're going to cut you loose pretty quick.
Yes, there's no way we're going to drag him through multiple rounds and put him in that situation
because
2 years
in
a row.
Because we had such great candidates so early on. It was incredible how many people wowed us.
Yes, the bar definitely raised year on year, and it's clear that people, having watched last year's shows, having watched maybe the audition show on YouTube, knew what to do, knew what we were expecting. But crucially, we were looking for people who maybe were less poker savvy this year, less experienced at playing cash, and I do think we ended up with three loose cannons who maybe weren't as, for want of a better word, proficient as Nikki and Lily were last year.
Yeah, for sure. I was looking for that. I was looking for people that were like a little cockier, maybe someone that maybe could sort of. I just wanted someone that'd be good on television. Maybe they're a hero. Maybe they're a villain. But yes, not exactly people that were like 2-5 proficient players. Nadia, by the way, once again, a complete terror as a judge. Like just a fucking maniac and unpredictable again.
So we have now made this a thing, and Nadia is on board with it. That in the same way that being on the receiving end of one of Helmuth's rants has become a kind of like badge of honor in poker. Being Nardian, we're going to make it a thing. If you audition for the big game and you just get absolutely destroyed, that's getting Nardian. And we need to make something out of it. We need to kind of ensure that someone who does endure that has something to show for it. We'll work on that for next year.
She did make something out of it she wanted to make sure that two ladies specifically got to play the main event. And so she gave away 5K main event seats to two of the women that did not make it through as loose cannons.
That's right. So both Doralee and Katrina got to play the main event, and I believe Katrina cashed. So great result.
She also gave us clothes, by the way. Nadia noticed that I had a rip on one of my shirts and was like, I'm going out clothes shopping for you. James got to be the beneficiary of that.
I do feel, bless her, that she thought, well, I can't really get one of them a shirt and not the other. I literally just bought three new shirts, but I will happily take a fourth.
It's like a $200 shirt.
It's a really nice shirt. So thank you, Nadia. And look, I enjoy the process. Yes, we are the three judges who sit there and have a certain amount of decision-making power. I do enjoy when the cameras stop rolling and we do talk behind the scenes with the producers. And what's interesting is to also bring in the view of the members of our production team who've spent time with the candidates upstairs in the green room or walk them down just to get their sense of what they're like as people. Because again, sometimes you hear about stuff that maybe they say or do when the cameras aren't rolling that can either help them in the process or maybe work against them in the process as well. So, you know, it was hard, and I don't like disappointing people, but I would not go so far as to say I wouldn't want to do it again. I think there are improvements we can make. I think we can refine the process, but I think I think it's a lot of fun to have this reality TV show element bolted on to the big game. And we're not going to talk about who the canons are. That's going to be a surprise for when you get to see the shows next year. But do you know what I think makes it worth it, Joe? It's the moment when you tell them that they are going to be on the big game. When you see the reactions of the people we select to be loose cannons.
That moment is worth it, and the people who sort of walk away at that point dejected, it's a lot easier than the people who went out in the first round.
Yeah.
Luckily, the people who didn't make it seem to have genuinely enjoyed the experience, and none of them seemed to really have a chip on their shoulder, which is great. But yes, that moment, one of the loose cannons specifically, the face that he made when he realized that he was going to make it, really, like, I'll remember that for the rest of my life. So, yes, that part is worth it.
And one of the loose cannons, when selected, delivered an acceptance speech that none of us was expecting that almost moved me to tears. So it does make it worth it. And also, we then had the drama of revealing that one of the big game tables was going to play higher, was going to be the bigger game. One of them was going to be staked 100k rather than 50k, and to see them draw the envelopes to see who was going to get to play in that game was another exciting moment. So before we get onto the big game itself, you mentioned, Joe, that the Gold Pass winners, many of whom auditioned for the big game, got to have an amazing experience at NAPT Las Vegas. I would say many of the people who we disappointed, many of the people we said no to, came up to both of us during the week and said, I love being a part of it. Thank you for giving us this experience. We'll never have anything like that again. I'm standing there apologizing, saying, I'm so sorry we kept you hanging around for hours. I'm so sorry we made you jump through all of these hoops. But actually, many of them genuinely had a blast just trying out for the show.
They did, and that made it a little bit easier that we, you know, knew that a lot of them had still had a main event ticket to fall back on. You know, that made a lot of the no's be like, okay, you're not for us. Good luck in the main event. Also, they had so much stuff they got to do while they were here, the comedy show.
Yes.
Morgan Jay headlined a comedy show. He's a millions of TikTok followers, huge stand-up right now in the United States. He headlined. I got to open for him. I feel very blessed to be able to do that. James, I know that you and Francine moved heaven and earth to make sure we were done in time for me to be able to do that. So I appreciate that. And I had so many...
The net benefit of that, Joe, is that I got to come to the show because I was done with work as well.
Yes, and I had so many people come up to me and say, you killed. And I thought I did okay, which given the situation, the setting is not exactly stand-up comedy, all that stuff. Like, I, you know me, I'm a pretty good judge of whether I do good or bad. I thought I did okay. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, we're so happy. That was a great show. And so I'm very, very happy about that. They had a players party.
Yes. Now, you skipped the party, right? This was on the Thursday.
I could not do the party. It was just, but by the way, what a fucking experience that was, because you were there.
Yes. So this was at Zouk, which is the nightclub at Resorts World. Now, this year,
just to get to go to Zouk, like a lot of people don't get in there on a given night.
And amazingly, for the time that it was exclusively the players' party, they had a sealed off section of the club. So it was just this part of the club for our players, for our Gold Pass winners, for people who are at the NAPT with a free bar. And then when the party officially finished, which was at 11 p.m., the dividing wall opened up and everyone was allowed to stay in the club because T-Pain was performing that night.
Amazing.
He's the auto-tune guy. Now, apparently, I heard he wasn't going to take to the stage until 2 a.m. and I realized that there is no way I'm staying in that club till 2 a.m. But Brandon said, oh, we've got a VIP area with bottle service coming. And I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. We'll stay for like 20 minutes, half an hour. It ended up being staying for 20 minutes. And this is going to sound so entitled, but sometimes it's great to be reminded of the things that you're not missing. And just the music was not my scene. The club was getting more and more crowded because they were letting in Gen Pop. And also, the AC was blasting so furiously, I was actually starting to shiver. So it was quite useful that I had the excuse of, I got to work tomorrow. So yes, we made our excuses and left. And then on the Saturday night, there was a karaoke night, and I got to appear just at the end because we were streaming the penultimate day of the NAPT
now,
main event.
Did you do a bespoke song at karaoke?
I did.
I have to hear about this.
So
yes.
I promised this on the last podcast that I randomly, once bored, decided to rewrite the lyrics to The Killers' Mr. Brightside to make it a song about poker, and I did debut to a wider audience. There was a private performance of this in London a couple of weeks back, but to a wider audience, including many of the Gold Pass winners and many of our PokerStars colleagues, this did make its debut at NEPT Las Vegas.
Okay, coming out of my cage and feeling just fine. Like, what is that line?
So basically, that is the line that inspired it, because I felt it should be cashing out at the cage.
That's good. That's really good.
Right? So it moves on from there. But yes, you will, at one stage, I'm sure other people will get to see
don't
the lyrics.
Don't blow it. Yeah, don't blow it. You'll have it. To do it many other times, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason, by the way, why we're kind of struggling to make it work, doing the fun stuff, is we had the big game itself. So having decided on who the loose cannons were going to be, and one of them, by the way, was told, oh, in 12 hours' time, you've got to be back here and play. No rest for the wicked. Because Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's when we filmed the big game. Three separate tables, Joe. Three separate lineups. Three separate loose cannons. They all had their own identity.
They sure did, yes. And just to sort of explain how stressful this was, like, we were still sort of juggling lineups and stuff like that for Friday's table while we're shooting Wednesday. But Wednesday, we had Jennifer Tilly, who once again was the star of the table, who probably would have been the star of the entire series if it weren't for table two and Gronk. Oh my God. I did have my doubts when Gronk was first announced. When we were told Gronk's going to be playing, I did have my doubts, but I was like, he's such a big star, it'll be worth it. Didn't even matter. If he had been a nobody, he would have been fucking fantastic.
So just to be clear, Jennifer Tilly was playing alongside Sam Grafton, Griffin Benja, Andre Akari, and Gerard Piquet. Interesting, diverse, international lineup. This second table, so you had Gronk and Nick Wright, who fortunately know each other, so they had a good kind of rapport. You've got Phil Hellmuth at the table, who is always keen to talk to a famous person. And then you have Antonio Esfandiari, who I have not seen play on a televised or live stream cash game in forever. And then you've got Rania and Nasruddin. And I was a little bit worried that Rania might get lost in these people who are much bigger than her, physically and figuratively, but she brought it. And if there's one thing we know about Rania from her back-to-back EPT final table appearances, she brings some good conversation.
Rania fit in perfectly. Of course, there were big personalities there. There was a lot of sports talk going on, but when things got quiet, Rania got in there in a great way. Antonio hit me up afterward. And he was like, oh, hey, I think you might have like reawoken my love for like TV cash games. Please keep me in mind in the future.
Wow.
That's how fun this game was. Like, people came out of retirement to play in it and are like, you know, maybe I should be unretired.
Notice, guys, we're steering clear of any spoilers. Not going to talk about the results. You'll get to see these shows in 2025. So table three, we've mentioned already, the new big game, same as the old big game. We went back to the original stakes from 2010, 2011, 200, 400, 100K minimum buy-in. And I don't think it's a spoiler to say that Alan Keating elected to buy in for the maximum $500,000, $500,000, which meant before any cards were dealt, there was $1 million on this table.
So sick. It didn't have quite the same home game feel as the Gronk table, but it played exactly as big as you would expect. We had so many big pots, so many 50K plus pots that they were trying to figure out how are we going to fit all of these in a television show. So I think you're going to get a lot of bonus content from this particular episode. It was Lex, Alan Keating, Wolfgang Poker played, Morgan J hopped in there, and Jason Kuhn, brand new PokerStars team pro, Jason Kuhn in there. So like, really good, I mean, other than Morgan, obviously, just phenomenal poker players playing at the highest stakes.
Yes, thank you for mentioning Jason, by the way. And of course, Caitlin Kameski, the other new team pro who was announced during NAPT Las Vegas. So a couple of other things we should talk about, Joe. Bump pots are a thing this time around. New to the big game. Never been featured before.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone got a bomb pot that they could call for on their button. Everyone used them. Some of the pots didn't end up being much of anything. Some of them ended up being a lot of something. And again, no spoilers, but we thought this was something that the loose cannons could use if they really were in a desperate situation. Yeah. They could gamble up a little bit more.
And when it comes to alternates, last year, I think Griffin came in for like 20 hands at the end when Alan Keating quit the game. And the second table played as it was till the very end. So this year, though, we kind of knew we would probably need more alternates. And sure enough, we did have some different players make an appearance. I don't know what we can say because we can't reveal which table they played at or who they replaced, right? But, I mean, we had the reigning World Series of Poker main event champion, Jonathan Tomeo, come into the game.
Fantastic. My favorite all-time TV player, Phil Locke, hopped in at one point.
Chance Cornuth makes an appearance on the big game as well.
And
so
all I would say is this. Furniture Dave was in the building.
That is true. That is true. So 3 days of the big game. I think we were all very happy with how all three went. And they're going to make three very distinct mini-series within the series, right? Five shows from each table, so 15 episodes that will now go into post-production, and you'll get to see at some point in 2025. And just when you think you're done, just when you think, wow, we got there, well then, oh yeah, now we've got the NAPT main event to worry about, and we've got a two-day live stream to do. Fortunately, and I thank whoever took the decision to play longer days on days 2 and 3 of the tournament, to make sure that when we got to the streaming, that getting from 18 to 6 and getting from 6 to a winner, they were manageable days. Neither day felt particularly brutal, and I wouldn't say we got through it as much as we were able to put on a good stream.
They were manageable days, but I think also this tournament, not only the players involved, but the way it went down, it did feel American. It felt very American. It played a little bit differently than the EPT. Obviously, we had way more American players. And I just think that, there was like a little bit more American bravado, a little bit less of like the European sort of calculation going on at the table.
The other thing to say is more of the big names, more of the top pros decided to come to this festival because it had more of the buy-ins that appeal to them, right? So you got a 5K main event, you got a 25K super high roller, congratulations Stephen Song, a 10K high roller. So you had the people who we saw go deep in this event, people like Joel Micker, people like Jeff Madsen, who maybe didn't attend the series last year. And I was really, I shouldn't be shocked. I was delighted that we had a final table that was so strong, had so many recognizable faces, so many personalities. And you're not wrong, Joe. It did have that US vibe. But also the fact that in the final six, we had a British pro and we also had Japan's biggest poker star by far.
Now, I don't know if you remember this. Obviously, infamously, Masato is like my nemesis from WSOP a couple years ago. One of the things that did irk me a little bit was that he had a camera crew following him the entire time. And I was like, oh, if I wasn't in the media, this might have bothered me. Nadia tweeted that someone had a camera crew the entire time and she found it rather annoying, which is really weird because the responses, most people actually defended the camera crew, which I thought was interesting. Look, I love Masato, but I do think if a player had an issue with a camera crew being there the entire time and it's not being televised, I do understand that complaint.
Yes, I see both sides. But look, I love it when we have Masato Yokosawa on a featured table. Loved having him on
great.
The final table.
Him.
And that final six, just to talk about the FT, and it was a relatively short final table, but somehow, despite having short stacks and very shallow stacks, we made it through 60 hands without losing a player. And then, to use your expression, the hose was unkinked and we start losing people in quick succession. And I think what spoke to not only the fact that it got relatively shallow, but the fact that one player had such a dominant chip lead, heads up was one hand.
Spoiler alert, the chip leader did what chip leaders generally do. He didn't do it as quickly as most people would think would happen, but he just played perfect, grind people down, use ICM against them. Look, he ran hot. I'm not going to lie. He ran really fucking hot in situations where he needed to, and he just did it. It was literally a dream run.
Now, the guy we're talking about here is Nick Marchington, who lives in London, who famously made the final table of the World Series main event in 2019, the year that Hussein Ensan won. At that point, he was 21 years old. Had he won that, he would have beaten Joe Carter's record as the youngest ever champion. He now plays a lot of cash games in Vegas. Nick showed up. Often we'll ask players to come in early, right, to do an interview or do their hero shots on set. And you know, you tell them 10:30, knowing full well they're going to show up at 11. Nick was there on time. So he was hanging around, and I got to talk to him for a good 20 minutes. Really nice dude. Really nice guy.
And very nice. Love him.
Also said, big fan of everything we do, and actually said the reason he got into poker was because he stumbled across the EPT TV shows on Channel 4 late at night. If you think about it, he's now 26 years old. So he was absolutely at that age to discover poker when we were on TV every single week. And it's so weird that there is now a generation coming up that have literally grown up watching our content and listening to our voices. It makes me feel very old, but it also makes me feel kind of proud.
No, I'm into it. And if you remember, that was the era where I was going out on dates, specifically on Wednesday nights, so I could say, oh, our TV show is on right now. So the fact that, I mean, that never really worked for me, but the fact that it's working for people who are now winning major tournaments, I'll take it as a consolation prize.
So Nick, a charming fella and a very talented player, and you talk about him running hot, Joe, but he pretty much owned this tournament for the last 2 days. He very much felt like he was in control and that every other player was working for him. Suffice to say, he managed to close it out. He went wire to wire at the final table, and Joe got to speak to Nick just minutes after he took down the NAPT main event for $765,000.
Nick, from our perspective, this sort of feels like a dream final table, the sort of thing that you literally dream about. Did it feel like that to you?
Yeah, it really did. Honestly, this is some of the most fun I've ever had playing poker, and I enjoy poker on the dullest of days. Coming in as a chip leader and never losing the chip lead, or even coming close to losing the chip lead, it was really a dream. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Were there any setbacks at all today, mentally?
No, not at all. I lost some small all-ins, but it didn't really feel like a setback. I felt really focused, really in the zone.
And at what point did it start to sink in for you that you were going to win this thing? Was it yesterday? Was it at a certain point today?
Obviously, I really wanted to win, and winning such an event like this is like a dream. But not at any point did I think I was going to win at all. And then heads up came, and the heads up was over in one hand, and the entire hand lasted about 45 seconds, and I still don't think I've quite processed that I've just won.
I mean, from our perspective, it seemed like you didn't make any mistakes. Were you feeling good about your play today?
Yeah, I was feeling good about my play. I felt confident the whole way. I don't think I'm immune to making mistakes, and I kind of prepared myself mentally that if I punt it off or make a misstep, to kind of be like, forgive myself and just stay present in the moment. But fortunately, I don't think even that happened. And even if there are a couple of hands I'm not happy about, I still am happy with what I played.
$750,000. Have you prepared yourself mentally for that?
No. Yeah, I was playing heads up 2 minutes ago, and the whole thing lasted about 30 seconds. So yeah, it's not saying that I've won.
Nick, thanks a lot. Congratulations. We're going to let you do your victory lap.
Thank you.
So that draws a line under NAPT Las Vegas for another year. Let's move on to this week's Superfan Quiz. And interestingly, Joe, this is the first time we have had one of your Nupa fans as we introduce Joshua Schofield. Hello, Josh.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Joshua? You're actually pretty lucky because Nupa fans are supposed to answer questions about the show to prove that they've listened before, but you got to pick your shit. It's all good. We're all fucking playing catch up. It's fine.
Perfect.
So, yes, I originally, Joe, you did say that you wanted Nupa fan subjects to be part of the PokerStars content universe. But yeah. You did also say that you'd leave it to Patrick. You nominated him as Judge Judy and Executioner. And clearly Patrick thinks that video games are part of our content universe. And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all. I've been writing about video games for my taxes for years. So please, let's do it.
So, Josh, we're going to get to know you in just a moment. The first thing to say is you were nominated by Adam Hemmings, who appeared on the podcast not that long ago, answering questions about general trivia. Is Adam a friend of yours or just an acquaintance?
So we met each other from a poker community. So we like study together and we play similar stakes like 50 and L online. So we do a lot of studying and talking. That.
Study poker, Jesus Christ. Okay, you're already better than anyone we've ever had on.
Probably not true, but...
Sadly, this quiz will not test your ability at poker. So clearly, you are a keen player, Joshua, if you're taking time to study and talk to friends about the game. Are you a budding professional, or is it just like a hobby you like to make money at and be good at?
It's a hobby. I don't really plan to make a career out of it. Well, it's a very enjoyable game, so.
Joshua, what is the career?
I'm more of a family man. My son has a few disabilities, so I'm his main carer. So I do a lot of side hustle type of things, like the poker, other things, like I arrange coaching sessions and events type of thing online. All around poker.
Very important work if you're taking care of your son.
Yeah, for sure.
And whereabouts are you in the UK, Joshua?
I'm in Warrington, so near Manchester and Liverpool.
Okay, so do you get much opportunity to play live at all, or is it mostly online?
Mostly online. I play some of the bigger ones, like in Nottingham and stuff like that.
Sure. Well, we are going to give you the opportunity to win a bronze power pass, which you could use for a Sunday Million ticket, for example. And of course, should you win... By nominating you, Adam also gets a 109 bronze pass. But crucially, you have to win. I always find it interesting when we have a subject this broad because you never know what direction Patrick's going to go in. And you also know there's going to be a disparity sometimes in the easiness of the questions. But I quite like that. I like the high variance games. So
me too. I do like it.
We'll see what we end up with. 2 points if you can answer the question without the options. 1 point if you need the options. Please give me a number between 1 and 10, Joshua.
7.
Always coming 7. So this question relates to the video game Mortal Kombat. And the question is, which character from Mortal Kombat says, "Get over here"?
I'll take the options.
Okay. I would have known this one straight away. I just want to be clear right now. I would have known this one.
Okay. I should know it, but yeah.
Your options are Scorpion, Raiden, Sub-Zero, or Liu Kang.
Let's say Scorpio.
It is Scorpion for 1 point. The first of the options. And that takes us to your first question, Joe. Any number other than 7?
Patrick, don't fuck me. I'll take number 8.
Number 8. In Mario Kart, what color is the shell that seeks out the player in first place?
The blue shell.
It is the blue shell for 2 points. You have a 2-1 lead after the first round. Joshua, it's your second question. 7 and 8 have gone.
Let's say number 1.
In what year was the first Call of Duty game released?
Wow, that's tough.
It's a high variance game.
I'll just say the options. Hold on. They're all going to be close, right? So you're going to give me 3 options that are close.
They're relatively close. They might help.
Go on, then. Let's say the options.
Okay, the options are 2001, 2003, 2005, or 2007.
So I was thinking earlier. Let's say 2001.
It was actually 2003, so no points for you there. Joe, your second question. What number would you like?
The lowest number possible, please.
That's number 2. The character Desmond Miles is the protagonist in which video game series?
I do not know this off the top of my head. I'll take the choices.
Is it Grand Theft Auto, Halo, Assassin's Creed or Final Fantasy?
The only one I haven't played is Final Fantasy, so I'm going to go with that.
It's actually Assassin's Creed.
Ah.
So, we come to round three. You still have a 2-1 lead, Joe. Joshua, any number up from three, excluding 7 and 8?
9. What would it
say? Oh, he's gone for Joe's lucky number 9.
How dare you?
Well, that might be good for you, right? If we get it wrong.
How many players compete in a League of Legends game?
I should know this. Well, I'm going to say 6, but I don't even know. I feel like it might be 6.
Are you sure you don't want to take the multiple choice options?
No, I'm going to take the multiple choice options.
Okay. Okay, this is your one mulligan. Is it 6, 8, 10, or 15?
Let's say it's 5-on-5 for 10.
It is 10 players, so you do get the 1 point. It is, and you're right, 5-on-5. Joe.
10, please.
Question number 10. What is the name of the currency used in Fortnite?
No idea. Choices, please.
Are you paying with Boss Coins, V-Bucks, Blue Essence, or F-Dollars?
F-Dollars.
It's V-Bucks. And that means we have a tied game going into the penultimate round. 3, 4, 5, or 6, Joshua?
6, please, my friend.
How many shapes are there in Tetris?
Ooh.
I mean, there's the L. Is it the L? 6 again. Oh my God, I can't count. Is it?
I can't give you another mulligan.
No. Fair enough.
The answer was actually 7. You were close.
Okay. Yeah, no, I should have just put the option because I was counting them.
Joe, 3, 4, or 5?
3, please.
Name the original 3 starter Pokemon.
No clue.
Okay, you'd like the options.
Yes, please.
Okay, is it Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle?
Yes, that one.
It is, for 1 point. And that takes us to the final round. Okay, you need at least 1 point here to tie, Josh.
Okay, let's do
4 or 5? 4 or 5?
5, please.
What's the name of the customizable avatar for the Nintendo Wii?
So I don't know.
So you can take the options and still get 1 point.
Yeah.
Is it you, me, B, or G?
No, it's me.
It's me with 2 eyes. Right. So we have a tied game.
Joe. You got lucky there, Josh, because I would have nailed that one.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Joe, if you can nail this one or if you can get it with the options, you've won. If you don't get this question right, we go to the tiebreaker. Question number 4 relates to the game Minecraft. In Minecraft, which monster attacks with a bow and arrow?
I need the choices, please.
Is it a creeper, a zombie, a skeleton, or a pig man?
I'm going to go with skeleton.
It is the skeleton for 1 point. Congratulations.
Well,
you've nailed
you.
It. So, well, sadly, Josh, you're not going to get the bronze pass. And sadly, Adam misses out on his pass. But here's the good news. You get the Poker in the Ears merchandise. Adam's already got some of that. He's not getting any more. But you're going to get a t-shirt, mug, whatever we've got lying around. Patrick will be in touch. He'll sort you out with that.
And okay. One thing they can never take away from you is you're the first Nooper fan versus Stapes.
And you christened it with a win, right? So
I did. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show, Joshua. It's great to meet you.
No worries, guys. Bye.
All right, my babies. That's just about all the time we've got for this week's show. Coming up next time, well, first, tonight, I am playing my first ever televised poker game. I'm playing on No Gamble, No Future.
Wow. What's the game, Joe?
So it was going to be 100-100.
Jesus.
Which is like pretty close to the big game, but I think they lowered it knowing that I was going to be there. So I think it's going to be 25-50. And James, here, I'm going to propose something.
Sorry, when you said they lowered it because they heard Stapleton was coming. So it's now a 2-5 game.
no, instead of being a 10K buy-in, it's a 5K buy-in.
Okay.
And I was thinking that maybe since you and I both get different opportunities for a while, maybe not forever, maybe do like a little perma swap.
Okay, so basically any tournament that we both play, we have the 10% agreement. So anything we play where we're not both playing, 5%?
Yeah, let's do like a 5% perma swap because I'm going to get to do things you can't do.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, so UKIPT Nottingham, you get 5% of my action. BSOP Millions, I get 5% of your action.
Exactly. Or if you play the Sunday Million, whatever it is, that kind of thing.
I like it. I like it. That's fun. That's a fun sweat.
Okay, great. Coming up next time, we're taking 1 week off from the podcast.
Yeah, next week is a week of planes, trains, and boats. We're on the road. We're traveling. It's going to be really, really hard juggling time zones and travel days and commitments. So we talked about this a few weeks ago. We said, look, just take that week off, and then we'll come back the following week, which is Thanksgiving week. So we'll record on the Tuesday or Wednesday, but Thursday, November 28th, which is Thanksgiving in the US, Thursday, November 28th is when the next episode will be out. And the great thing is you'll get to hear about all those travels. It will be the UKIPT Nottingham recap. It will be the BSOP Millions recap. It will be the Texas recap from whatever poker games you and I end up playing in that state.
All right, don't forget to get involved in the Discord if you want to be a super fan, if you want to be a nooper fan. Get involved. Discord is the way to do it. But for now, that is all the time we've got for this week's show. Until next time, for James Hartigan, I am Joe Stapleton. Smell you later.